COTA just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your COTA fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with COTA. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Detective Perspective. For those of you who do not know yet, maybe you're a first-time watcher or listener, my name is Derek Levasseur. I'm a licensed private investigator and former police detective. And each week I'll cover an unsolved case in story format. I'll then give my perspective on the investigation and provide you with contact information for the individuals or organizations connected to the case so that if you have any tips, you can contact them directly. Maybe you can help solve a case. Had to do that one last time before we wrap up this year. As you can probably tell, there's no teaser for today, and that's because this week's episode is my favorite episode of the year, which is the updates episode, where I give a few updates on some of the cases that I covered throughout the year. And we covered a lot of cases, 115 different cases to be exact, and we're not going to give an update on all of them because in most cases, unfortunately, there's no updates. And in some of them, it's very minor, nothing really worth reporting on yet. But we do have some cases that have major updates, including arrests, which is why I wanted to hop on here today and just talk about those cases. This is not going to be a long episode. There's not going to be any sponsorships in this episode. It's just going to be you and I talking about some of the cases that I covered and giving you the updates that I currently have on them. At the end of the episode, I'll wait until I get through these updates in case people don't care about this next part. I want to give a little bit of an inside look to what I'm going to be doing in 2026. We've built a pretty strong community here and I have some big plans for 2026, so I'll save them for the end of the episode and we'll talk about it. All right, with that all out of the way, let's dive into the updates, starting with episode 36, Christina Branham and Christopher Mittendorf. Now, for those of you who don't know, on July 28th, 2006, Christina and Christopher, a young couple from Hardin County, Tennessee, were reported missing after they failed to show up to visit with Christopher's father the day before. When we previously covered the case, we discussed a potential suspect, George Baugus, also known as Eddie. Now, at the time, it had been reported that Christina and Christopher may have been involved in a robbery or burglary at Eddie's property shortly before they disappeared. Eddie was known to be volatile, and there were concerns that if he believed the couple had stolen from him, he could respond with violence. In June of 2025, the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation announced that they were closing the case. Investigators said that they had identified the person responsible for both deaths and the disposing of Christina and Christopher's remains. They went on to say that the individual responsible is now deceased. The TBI did not publicly name the person, though it is widely assumed to be Eddie. Now, why they didn't publicly name this person, I truly don't know. I have to assume that they notified both Christina and Christopher's families and let them know who they believe the person was. But I also think the community has a right to know. If this person is deceased and they're no longer capable of hurting anybody else, I think everyone who lives in that area should know that, because I'm sure a lot of people were concerned that this person could attack again. So I think they owe it to everyone who has been affected by this to publicly announce that name if they're that certain that this is in fact the person responsible. However, I'm not in charge of the TBI and they're going to do what they want to do, but if I were in charge of the case, that's what I would have done. Now, unfortunately, no additional details were released and Christina and Christopher's remains have not been located, so that means we can still help. If you have any information about this investigation or potentially know where they are, please contact the TBI at 1-800-TBI-FIND. And if there is a major update where they announce they have located their remains, I will let you guys know. Now, the next case we're going to talk about is episode 41, Brandi Hutchins. For anybody not familiar with the case, on November 10th, 1988, 14-year-old Brandi Hutchins was dropped off at the old John Emery house on Whippoorwill Road in Coal Hill, Arkansas. 2 days later, she was found dead inside the property's root cellar. She had been shot with a .22 caliber firearm. When we covered Brandy's case, we discussed her boyfriend as a possible suspect, and as detectives began closing in, he moved to Kentucky, where he lives today. He has never been arrested for anything in relation to Brandy's murder. Later, he began dating another woman, Michelle Burschel, and after he found out she was pregnant, she disappeared and has never been found. Earlier this year, Brandy's cousin Julie, who we worked with on the episode, requested records from Kentucky authorities. Through those files, she learned that Brandy's boyfriend had been considered in connection with 6 murders, with Brandy believed to be the first. Those cases include 2 victims in Kentucky, 1 victim in Las Vegas, 1 victim in Ohio, and 1 in Florida. Now, despite being looked at in all of these cases, he has never been charged in a single one of them. So it's important to note that because he's innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. As you might imagine, Julie is deeply frustrated and concerned. So if you or anybody you know has information about Brandy's case, please contact the Johnson County Sheriff's Crime Tips Hotline at 479-705-8477. There is a $5,000 reward available. Okay, on to the next case, and this is a big one. I'm talking about episode 63, Nikki Cheng Selee McCain. On the evening of May 17th, 2024, 39-year-old Nikki disappeared in Shasta County, California, after saying she was with her estranged husband, Tyler McCain's family. When we originally covered Nikki's case, we had discussed the abuse that she had been experiencing and her efforts to leave Tyler. And at the time, I said it was very likely that he was involved in her disappearance, though he had not been officially named as a person of interest. Well, I'm glad to announce that in August of 2025, Tyler McCain was arrested and charged with Nikki's murder. Sadly, Nikki's body has not been located. So it's important to note here, because we're not done yet, a $30,000 reward is available for information that leads to Nikki's location. Anyone with information is asked to contact the Shasta County Major Crimes Unit at 530-245-6135. The next case we're going to talk about is episode 72, Trudy Appleby. Now, Trudy was 11 years old, and she was last seen around 9:30 a.m. on August 21st, 1996, near her home in East Moline, Illinois. A witness reported seeing her get into a gray or silver 4-door Chevy Celebrity with a white man. Now, law enforcement later identified 3 persons of interest: William Ed Smith, David Whipple, and Jameson Fisher, also known as Jamie. When we covered Trudy's case, Fisher was the only one still alive. In August of 2025, Fisher was finally arrested and charged with Trudy's murder. Now, sadly, Trudy's remains have not been recovered either, so we still have work to do. Anyone with information is encouraged to contact the Moline Police Department at 309-534-2140. There is a $10,000 reward being offered. All right, let's move on to another case. I'm talking about episode 74, Blake Chappelle. Now, 17-year-old Blake disappeared after visiting his girlfriend in the early morning hours of October 16th, 2011 in Noonan, Georgia. His body was later found near the Summer Grove Golf and Tennis Club, and he had been shot in the head at close range with a firearm believed to be between a .22 and .45 caliber weapon. No suspects were named at that time. In September of 2025, a man named Scotty Elliott Smith was charged with Blake's murder after confessing during multiple interviews. Smith had not been previously investigated in the case, though he had recently been identified as a person of interest before those interviews took place. Now, as of right now, no additional details have been released. Police say the investigation remains ongoing, and anyone with information is asked to contact the Noonan Police Department at 770-254-2355. And this is an interesting case, because when I cover these investigations, you would think that one of the people I'm talking about is more than likely our suspect. And that may be true, but I always preface every case by saying there is that outlier where the reason this case has not been solved is because the person responsible for the crime has no previous connection to the victim. And that's always worst case scenario for law enforcement, because when you have a victim, you can reverse engineer the people they're associated with and see if there were any complications or adversities within those relationships. But when you have just a complete stranger who just basically took advantage of a situation and committed a heinous act against someone they didn't even know, it makes it much more difficult. And that's when law enforcement really has to earn their paycheck and rely on the forensics and any evidence collection to link back to the person or people responsible. Or, in this case, at least what it sounds like, someone who may be connected to other investigations in your area, may have a history of violence, bring them in, have a good interrogator conduct a good interrogation, and ultimately lead to a confession that you can use in a court of law. Now, as far as this case is concerned, we do not have a conviction yet, and we know that false confessions are a real thing. So we're going to wait to see how this one plays out in the court of law, but if everything goes as planned, I'll have another update when we have that final verdict. All right, moving on to another case, episode 83, Oakley Carlson. 4-year-old Oakley Carlson was last seen on February 10th, 2021 in Grays Harbor County, Washington. She was not reported missing until 10 months later on December 6th when a school principal requested a welfare check. When police contacted Oakley's biological parents, Andrew Carlson and Jordan Bowers, they provided conflicting statements and they were unable to explain where Oakley was. An investigation was launched immediately, uncovering deeply concerning allegations, including abuse, drug exposure, and medical neglect, all attributed to Oakley's biological parents. Despite multiple investigations and extensive searches, Oakley has never been found, and her biological parents remain persons of interest. In the fall of 2025, Oakley was legally declared deceased in Pacific County after an attorney representing Oakley's siblings filed the motion. This occurred without the involvement of Oakley's foster parents, Jamie, Joe, and Eric Hiles, who learned of the decision only after it had already been finalized. Around that same time, law enforcement announced that they are now considering a no-body homicide prosecution in Oakley's case. Hopefully that lets Andrew and Jordan know that they're not safe and law enforcement may be coming for them. But we don't want to always rely on law enforcement. You can still help in this case. So if you have information about Oakley's whereabouts, you're asked to contact the Grays Harbor Sheriff's Office at 360-964-1729. There is currently a $100,000 reward available for information leading to her discovery. And this is obviously great news. I've talked about this in Oakley's case, as well as some other cases that we covered, where when law enforcement has exhausted all resources, they've followed up on all leads, and they've done everything they could, and they have a person or people who they have identified who are clearly not telling the truth. Like Oakley's case, it's so obvious that just being incompetent and just playing ignorance isn't an alibi. And that's exactly what her biological parents are doing. That's not enough. And so if they've done everything they could to examine all other possibilities and everything keeps coming back to her biological parents, you need to paint that picture to a jury. Let them decide if they're guilty or not, because at this point you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how this case progresses in the long term. And I hope that the Grays Harbor Sheriff's Office doesn't just talk about this and they actually give it a shot, because I think it's worth it. Now, the last case I want to talk about is episode 75, Lonnie Rogers, also known as Lonnie. And for anybody who's following me on Instagram, then you already know about this update because I covered it as soon as it happened. The reason I saved it for last is because, in my opinion, this case was the most obvious as to who was responsible for whatever happened to Lonnie, and yet they hadn't been arrested yet, but I'm happy to report that has changed. So for anybody who doesn't know, Lonnie was last seen on the evening of January 6, 1981. According to her husband, Clinton Rogers, also known as Bud, he last saw her around 12:45 a.m. on January 7th at their house on Route 98 in Hayfield Township, Pennsylvania. Bud claimed Lonnie had left during a blizzard following an argument, leaving behind all of her belongings, including her car, purse, hearing aids, medication, and most importantly, her children. Now, from the beginning, Bud's account was widely questioned, and he has long been suspected of being involved in Lonnie's disappearance. And I'm happy to report that just a few weeks ago, on the day before Thanksgiving in 2025, Bud confessed to murdering Lonnie and disposing of her body in a dumpster. He was arrested that night and charged with her murder. Lonnie's daughter, Allison, who worked with us on the episode, said she never thought this day would come. But after 45 years, it finally did. And I have zero respect for Bud. I don't care what happens to him going forward. Nothing that happens to him will make up for what he did and what he took. But I'm glad to see that he finally came forward and confessed to his actions, because we've all known it all along, and I don't know his reasoning behind doing it, nor do I care. It's been far too long, but for some families, they never get this. As Allison alluded to, it just doesn't often happen. So I'm glad to see that we have at least one case where living relatives will know what happened to Lonnie moving forward, and they can start to process and heal and not wonder, where is she? What happened to her? Was there something I could have done? The answer is simple. There was a monster, and he took advantage of a situation, and he took Lonnie from all of us, and now he's going to spend the rest of his life in prison. And that does it for the updates. Obviously, I wish there were more, but I'm also happy to see that we had as many as we did. You're not guaranteed in 1 year to cover a case and be able to come back at the end of said year and tell them that it's been solved and that the person responsible has been apprehended. So to have multiple cases like that, that's a huge win for the families, for this channel, and for this entire community. And that's kind of where I want to wrap up this episode, because although I love what we're doing and I love what we're building, I want to do more in the new year. And that comes down to a personal professional balance for me, but talking with my team and realizing what we're creating here and what we could do with it, we're going to do some big things in 2026. I've already talked to the team about starting a Discord page where we can discuss these cases in real time, and we can continue to build a community of crime solvers who want to go beyond me just covering the case, where we can all convene and discuss different specifics about the investigation and see if we come up with something new. It won't just be something I put on Instagram and then you forget about it. We'll have a dedicated community where you can go learn about the case and talk with like-minded individuals who want the same thing as you, which is to solve these cases and bring these families at least some closure. And whenever I talk about you guys or the cases we're covering, I always refer to you as, you know, the part-time detectives. They're out there working the case. And I love that phrase because I really do think it represents the audience for this show specifically. You're not just here to be entertained by tragedy. You're here to make a difference. And I love the phrase part-time detective. I love that tagline for you guys. And I actually went and trademarked it. I loved it so much. I wanted to own that. I wanted us to all have part of that. So I'm going to develop a whole merch line around it. And we're going to be able to go out there and represent our part-time merch proudly. And when we show up at conventions or we get together for meet and greets, people are going to know who we are and what we're about. So I'm working on that as well. There'll be more to come with that. Again, I have a very small team here. We're trying to do our best. It's a slow burn, but we get stuff done. And I promise you, we're going to get this done as well. So we have the Discord. We have new merch. I'm going to get the Patreon channel up and going. I know I have it started, but I really want to add bonus content. I want to add free content there as well, like we have on Crime Weekly. And this is all step by step, doing it one thing at a time so that you can choose what you want to be part of and join the movement. And I hope that as we continue to grow, we get a bigger voice, we have more momentum, and we have more influence in the law enforcement community so that we can really make a difference and solve these cases. But if there's anything that I'm missing that you think would add a lot of value to what we're doing here, please leave a suggestion in the comments or leave a review with your comment. I'm reading all of it. And if there's something that pops up that I didn't think of, that's a great idea, I'm receptive to it. I'm more than willing to add it. But that's going to do it for me in 2025, and I wouldn't be here without you. I can't wait to see what we accomplish in the new year. Until then, everyone stay safe out there, and I'll see you soon.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No